It's Blue Jays In Between Games show here, brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. I'm Roger Lejoine. Our studio's here in Toronto. In between games of the Philadelphia Phillies and Toronto Blue Jays doubleheader, you know it's COVID, you know it's 2020, because the first game was a home game for the Blue Jays, and now the Blue Jays will become the road team. I wonder if they're going to go in the clubhouse and change into their road uniforms in between games. No, I don't think so. I'm trying to find a way to make a laugh here, because quite frankly, there is not much to smile or laugh about the Blue Jays the last little while. I'm Roger Lejoie with you for about 25 minutes or so before we'll get back to Kevin Barker and Ben Wagner doing the call of game number two in Philadelphia. We're going to review it shortly here for you. Get your thoughts. They're very welcome. Text 590-590. So if you want your text read during the in-between game show or on our post-game show at the end of game two, and I'll be back for that a little bit later, please do. 590-590, name and location, your thoughts. On Twitter, at TheRaj590. You can reach me at TheRaj590. And the Blue Jay poll was up on Twitter a bit earlier, and it doesn't need to be updated. In fact, maybe if I posted it fresh after this game, your thoughts would be fairly negative as they are now. Although I shouldn't say that. You know what? Most fans are hanging in there with the Jays. Because our question on Twitter is, did the Jays allowing 43 runs and 19 homers in three games? I still can't believe that. I still cannot believe that. 19 homers in three games against the Yankees change your feelings on how good a team they are. And I guess I could update it. After a 7-0 loss to the Philadelphia Phillies, does that change it? Hey, terrible stretch, without question. Four-game losing streak, we got it. 50 runs in four games. But this team is still going to the playoffs. But they're not going to the playoffs because of the way they're playing now. They're going to the playoffs because the teams behind them are just so terrible that the Blue Jays would have to, well, lose their last 10 games now. And even then, they could slip into the playoffs. So it's not so much that the Jays are that great a playoff nailed down team. It's the teams they're chasing are not very good. But to the question, I gave you four choices. Yes, I've changed my mind. In other words, that Yankee series said, oh man, they're not as good as I thought they were. No, I still like them. Maybe. Let's see the response. And fourth, confirmed my concerns, because that's kind of different than changing your mind. Maybe you always thought the Blue Jays were kind of a mirage here in 2020. It's a pretty tight poll, and it's going to be up until the end of Sportsnet tonight, around midnight tonight. So we'll see how the night voters look at this. But early returns on the poll, 30.2% of you say no, still like them. And by the way, that's how I would have voted. 28.1% say maybe. Let's see the response. Well, the game one response, not so much good. 21.6% say it confirmed my concerns, and 20.1% say, yep, change my mind. Your thoughts are welcome. Drop a comment as well. Love to hear from you without question. 590-590 is the text. 590-590 is the text. Terry in Toronto texts in and says, hey, Rog, I think this bump in the road illustrates the need for the front office to add more top pitching this offseason, perhaps a Trevor Bauer type. Terry, thanks very much. Like, I know the last couple of nights people have been talking, especially after those terrible games against the Yankees. And if you take away the ninth inning of the third game of that series, that's about as bad as it gets. And people were saying, see, there's not enough pitching and the sky is falling. And now it's a four-game losing streak and they've given up 40 runs in four games, all of which is bad. It's terrible. Who's kidding who? However, yeah, of course, if you're going to sign a Trevor Bauer type. Of course, if you can add to the pitching. Terry, thank you for the text. You're correct. It's the right thing to do. But this still, to me, is house money, no? Team lost 95 games last year, and they're going to be in the playoffs. So, yes, do they need to do more in the offseason? Well, I would have said that before this four-game stretch that has gone downhill. So, yes, they do, but you know what? I'm still saying give this team some house money. 590-590 is a text. We got a ton coming in. That's great. Keep them coming. 590-590, name and location, please. And we will read them here during our in-game show, and we'll do it again on the post-game show. Coming up in just a moment, Ian Hunter from Blue Jay Banter will join me. We'll get his thoughts on the Blue Jays and what went wrong today. And there was a lot that went wrong. They are shut out 7-0 on just four hits in the first game of a doubleheader. More to come on our in-game show. This is the Blue Jays In-Between Game, powered by Jack Links on the Sportsnet Radio Network. This is the Blue Jays in between games of the doubleheader show, long handle, and it's brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. I'm Roger Lajoie in our Toronto studios. Jays lose the opener to the Phillies 7-0, dominated today. Bryce Harper with the home run, but hey, let's look on the positive. They only gave up one homer today. That's kind of going in the right direction. And they gave up 7 runs, but really, they were never in this one after the Phillies broke open. Well, they were in it early, but a 5-run fifth inning for the Phillies broke it open, and they win 7-0. We'll read your comments coming up. 590-590 is the text on Twitter at TheRaj590, and I'll be back after the ballgame for a Jays postgame show as well. But right now, delighted to be joined by Ian Hunter from Blue Jays Banter to talk about this one. Ian, thanks very much for being with us. And it's, well, there's no other pretty way to say it. It just keeps getting worse for the Blue Jays right now. They have definitely hit a major bump in the road here, Ian.
Yeah, it does really kind of feel like they're in the midst of a tailspin right now. You know, 4 straight losses. They've actually got like demolished by the Yankees in that series. And you know, you thought maybe, okay, it's a Yankee Stadium thing. They get out of there, they go to Philadelphia, they'll have a fresh city, maybe a fresh start. But yeah, a seven nothing loss is not what you want. And with I believe it's only 10 games left now, 3 against the Phillies. I mean, these are key games. Every game is very crucial. I think the Blue Jays' magic number to clinch is still 7. But they can do themselves some favors by winning the second one here.
Well, you don't want to be dragging it out near the end of the season, and especially, Ian, I think on the pitching front, because if you're going to have any chance at all in the postseason, for the Blue Jays in particular, you got to have Ryu pitching game one, likely Walker pitching game two, but you've got to have a fresh bullpen, you've got to have your starting rotation set up perfectly, everything's got to go according to plan for there to be any possibility of postseason success, and the only way to do that is nail down this playoff spot ASAP. If it comes down and you got to win ball games next week against the Yankees or the Orioles, you run the risk of having guys tired again when it matters the most in the postseason.
No, you definitely don't want to leave it to the very end. And I mean, the Blue Jays do face the Orioles to finish the season for 3 games. You would think those would be winnable ball games, but I mean, it's anything can happen. 2020 has been a crazy season. So, I mean, you mentioned Ryu. The Blue Jays seem to be doing a bit of extended rest for him. So, unfortunately, it looks like he's probably only going to get 2 more starts the rest of the regular season, likely pitching at some point this weekend and maybe at the tail end of that Yankees series or to open up that Orioles series. And really, he's been basically the Blue Jays' only dependable starter out there. Like, he's thrown 5 quality starts in 10 games. Other than Taiwan Walker to a certain degree as well. But other than that, I would say the quality of starting pitching has just kind of fallen off the map as of late.
Well, it has indeed. Robbie Ray didn't fall off the mat today or the world today, but he pitched 4 1/3 innings. And again, a starter can't get in past the fifth inning or past the fifth inning. He did get into the fifth inning. 5 earned runs, 5 hits, 6 strikeouts, 4 walks, hurts, and the big home run to Harper. And again, you know, there's no way to be nice about it. It's just a middling of the road kind of a game where, again, the reason he's out in the fifth inning isn't even so much the fact that it's 6-0 by then. It's he's already thrown 92 pitches.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think maybe because it's a 7-inning game, that might have played in strategically as well. Maybe Charlie Montoya wanted to save some of his high leverage arms for potentially the second game. But I mean, Robbie Ray, like, you saw some bright spots there early on. He kind of got into trouble, but he got his way out of it by striking out some batters. But I mean, really, the walks are what killed him once again, like 4 walks in 4.1 innings. And many times, you know, he'd walk a batter and then the Phillies would hit a home run and they're out in front. And I mean, I think he was the National League leader in like walks per 9. So the Blue Jays definitely bought low on him and maybe they thought they could kind of turn things around for him. I mean, I'll give him credit. He's definitely a strike thrower, but there were some, I don't know if he was getting pinched a little bit today by the home plate umpire. There definitely were some close calls that could have gone either way. but he's someone who really has had a lot of trouble with his control. I mean, when he attacks the strike zone, he's got a great plus fastball. He looks tremendous out there, but at times it can be a little painful because he does tend to walk a lot of guys.
Ian Hunter is with us, Jays writer for Daily Hive Toronto. I'm Roger Lajoie. It's the post-game show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. In between games of the doubleheader, Ben Wagner, Kevin Barker coming up with the call of Game 2 in about 20 minutes' time as the Blue Jays try to bounce back from a 7-0 loss in Game 1. Zach Elfin with a complete game for the Phillies. A complete game, 4-hitter, 9 strikeouts, 2 walks. He made it look easy today, but Ian, we certainly know after watching the Blue Jays this year, it is pretty tough to pitch a complete game in the majors this year, 7 innings or 9 innings.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's funny that the Blue Jays are playing the Phillies because it's basically a tale of two teams at this point. They're both clinging to the final playoff spot. As an 8th seed, they've both been in a tailspin as of late. And if you were Charlie Montoya, you were kind of hoping that Robbie Ray would gut out a performance like the Phillies did today. But yeah, I mean, this is the time when the Blue Jays starting pitching really needs to step up, because I feel like the bullpen has really been running on fumes as of late. They've been picking up a lot of work just because starting pitchers have only been pitching into the, you know, second, third inning. Montoya had to use an opener the other night ahead of Chase Anderson. That didn't seem to fare much better. So if they want any chance at all of squeaking into the playoffs, and I mean, even if they do, other than Ryu, the quality of starting pitching just kind of falls off of a cliff. So first, you want to hope that they get into the playoffs first and foremost, but secondly, then you've got to set up that starting rotation, which is going to be tough to match up with any team, whether it's, you know, the White Sox or the Rays potentially at the top of the American League.
Well, it won't be anybody easy, especially if the Jays don't get into a better playoff position. And all of a sudden, I say all of a sudden because they lost the 3 games to the Yankees, they're now 3 games back of the Yankees for second place with 10 games to play. So, and with 4 games against New York next week. So chances are they're going into the playoffs as a wild card team, and that means an upper echelon team, whether that be Tampa Bay, Oakland, Yankees, or what have you. So a tough job gets even tougher. Another reason that this losing streak has come at a pretty poor time. I don't care how confident the rookie is, Ian. I got to believe any rookie making his major league debut, and especially a pitcher, just wants to get the thing out of the way. And that's not saying diminishing their efforts at all, but all the pressure of, you know, you finally show what you can do in the majors. And Patrick Murphy did that today by getting 4 outs. He's got to be feeling pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, he came as advertised, not coming into an ideal situation where, you know, you'd want to be ahead on your big league debut, but he seemed to handle the Phillies with ease. Like, he had his fastball up to 97. He got 3 whiffs on his fastball, had some really decent numbers at AA last year in the Blue Jays organization. But I think that there was a little bit of a hitch with his delivery, and they basically said it was illegal. So he kind of had to go back to the drawing board and basically kind of like retool things. So he could have a legal delivery, but it to me, he kind of reminds me a little bit of Julian Merriweather. Like, it seems like Julian Merriweather 2.0, you know, someone who, if you need him to come in for 1 to 2 innings, potentially even more, he can definitely blow his fastball by people. He's got a nice curveball as well, so a really good secondary pitch. He looked really good in his big league debut today.
Well, Kevin Barker made a great point in the broadcast. He was talking about his major league debut, and the nerves are, you know, getting to the ballpark and, you know, all the surrounding trappings and the nerves, you're walking around before the game. But as he mentioned, once you sit in, once you get at bat, and in this case, when Murphy gets to throw that pitch, it's still baseball. It's still the game. And I saw that in Murphy today. And I don't know, maybe he was a bucket of nerves coming into it. But soon as you're in there, you've just got to remember, you've been playing this game all your life. You're just doing it now at the highest level. And listen, especially down this stretch of last 10 games, here's a guy, I'm sure the Blue Jays would love it if he could chew up some innings.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, for them, it's probably muscle memory, right? Like, it's just, as soon as they uncork the first or second pitch, they're back in business. And it's a really unique situation for Merriweather. Like, he's coming in, making his debut in the midst of a playoff race in a shortened season. He's been with the taxi squad for most of the season, so you would think it would be tough for someone like that coming into this situation to ramp up, but he kind of looked like a seasoned veteran out there today. I realize it's a small sample size, only one game, but yeah, you would love, you figure he's a fresh arm for Charlie Montoyo to bring in out of the bullpen, so maybe he gets a little bit of extra work this coming week just because some of the guys in the bullpen have been so gassed as of late.
They have been indeed, and today Hatch and Murphy, the two pitchers, out of the bullpen, but in a seven-inning game, but another seven-inning game to play coming up shortly, so at least it was only three pitchers today. That's one positive. Another positive is a continuing great play of Kevin Biggio, and he is a guy, the prototypical guy, Ian, where the numbers lie. They do sometimes, because if you just look at the batting average and don't really dig in to the full analytics of what he's doing, you don't see the full value. Now, today, they only had four hits in the ballgame. He has two of them, so that's one thing. But he steals a base, and in his major league career, which is now a season and this shortened season, 50 games into it, whatever it is long, has never been caught. He's a perfect 20 for 20. And I know stolen bases have kind of become passe, and people don't want to give up outs, and it's not the game it was years ago when Ricky Henderson was stealing 118 or whatever it was a season. But Ian, if you can be successful every single time you steal, brother, you go ahead and run.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw that on the broadcast today as well. And yeah, as you mentioned, the stolen base is kind of a bit of a forgotten art in this era of baseball. You see a lot of teams aren't willing to kind of take that risk. But if Kevin Biggio is willing to run, I mean, he's got 100% success rate. Good on him. And if anything, I would say the Blue Jays have kind of been guilty of being overly aggressive on the base pass. I think of someone like Jonathan Villar, who's, you know, been picked off and maybe run into situations trying to extend a single into a double. Kevin Biggio is like the antithesis of that. He's someone who's playing around the diamond for the Blue Jays, playing at, you know, third base, center field, right field. And I'm always just really impressed with the quality of his at-bats. Like, he has this tremendous ability to just take borderline pitches and just not even bother with them and always draw a walk. Like, he'll get down 1-2 and end up drawing a walk. Like, he's just, he's the perfect table setter near the top of the lineup for the Blue Jays. And I'm constantly impressed, just like he looks like he's using veteran savvy, but he's only had his second year in the league. So he's just a tremendous all-around player.
He's a pro's pro without question, and one of the best 251 hitters you're going to see in baseball, because that's his average even after today's 2-for-2. Ian Hunter is with us from Daily Hive Toronto. I'm Roger Lajoie. It's the Blue Jays in-between game show. Coming up in about 10, 15 minutes, the Blue Jays and Phillies will get going with game number two. You don't want to make too much of just four hits in game one, because despite the fact that it was a terrible series against the Yankees, prior to that, the Met series, and even during the Yankee series, the Blue Jays were scoring runs. They put up seven in the loss, including four in the ninth inning yesterday, and, you know, had six runs and three runs, whatever it is. So 16 runs in three games is pretty good offensive production, but the bats go dry today, and on a day when they go dry, it just kind of, Ian, accentuates that you'd like to see some guys get into it. You know, Teoscar Hernandez, obviously coming back from the injury, did draw a walk, but, you know, is still trying to find his swing. Vladdy, who's been hot and cold, looked to be swinging the bat really well, is now down to 242 again, and Travis Shaw, 213, and Jonathan Villar, you know, has had a very difficult time, and he's hitting 213. So, again, I'm not going to blame the offense for one game, because they've been hitting, but a little more consistency from this lineup. And Kevin and Ben talked about in the broadcast, they just don't look confident very much now.
No, I mean, maybe that's the case of just playing this compressed schedule, playing so many games over so many days. Maybe some of these guys are getting tired. I don't know. You could throw Randall Grichuk into that equation as well. I don't think he's had an extra base hit in the last 2 weeks. These are all hitters who, if the Blue Jays are going to have a fighting chance, they need guys like Vladdy and Bichette to kind of heat up as well, and Teoscar Hernandez. Maybe it's unfair to kind of expect him to hit at the rate as he was before going on the injured list, but you need players to step up in the absence of, you know, someone like Rowdy Tellez, who, you know, may very well not be back the rest of the regular season. I'll mention the one X factor in this series is the Phillies bullpen. I mean, they've got the worst bullpen in all of baseball. Statistically, they have the second worst ERA in history right now. And I think it's interesting that Joe Girardi didn't even call upon the bullpen in the first game. I think that was probably by design because he thought things might have gotten out of control. So if the Blue Jays can tap into the Phillies bullpen in game two here, I think they've got a fighting shot because Phillies relievers have not been very good this season.
No, they haven't. And the Phillies also, they'll get a complete game in game one. So that's got to help. And at least they can have their preferred relievers for game two. Heading into the second game, Jays are 26 and 24. The Phillies are dead even 25 and 25. And the Phillies in the same kind of position as the Blue Jays are. They still have a lot to play for and are hoping for a postseason spot. So, you know, we talk about the urgency of the 60 game season. This game is pretty urgent as well.
Oh yeah, especially on both sides. I mean, it's not a case like next week where the Blue Jays are going to be facing the Yankees and the Yankees, you know, by then they may have clinched a playoff spot. Meanwhile, the Blue Jays are fighting for their playoff lives. So you've got both teams here in a dead heat. I think actually the Phillies just kind of tied up with Cincinnati there in the National League. They've got St. Louis kind of nipping at their heels. They're a game out. The Brewers are a game and a half out. The Blue Jays closest competition is the Mariners at four games. So they've got a little bit more breathing room, but I feel like both teams are definitely feeling the heat. And with there only being 1 week left in the schedule, this really has the feel. Well, I mean, it is September baseball, but it truly does feel like kind of pennant race, very, very stressful baseball on both sides.
Without question, Ross Stripling is getting the start in game two. And Ian, we talked about the Blue Jays' inconsistent starting pitching, and he certainly has been that. Season numbers are 3-3 with a 5.88 ERA. Gave up 3 runs over 3 1/3 innings his last time out. And, you know, they wanted him as a guy who's pitched, you know, deep into games before to chew up the innings. And again, he is not. And therefore, the bullpen has been taxed. I would think, especially in game two, they're kind of hoping. Now, you know, they got mixed results. At least Ray gave them 4 1/3. They definitely want at least that, if not more, from Stripling in the nightcap.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it really depends on how, if the Blue Jays can get out to a lead early. I think if that's the case, Charlie Montoyo might be a little more aggressive in the bullpen. And we've kind of seen this with the Blue Jays. You know, they really don't want their pitchers going third time through the order. Many of them, the starting pitchers, haven't even been surviving, you know, through the second time through the order. So, I mean, ideally, I think the Blue Jays want to get 4 to 5 quality innings out of Ross Stripling. You know, 7 would be fantastic, but nobody's gone beyond 6 this year. So, Ross Stripling has kind of been a little bit of a mixed bag as of late when he came over to the Blue Jays. I mean, fatal flaw when he was with the Dodgers, he gave up a ton of home runs. I mean, he hasn't done that yet, but it seems like teams have been teeing off on the Blue Jays as of late. So I think if Ross Stripling can keep the ball in the ballpark against the Phillies tonight, I think they've got a pretty decent shot at winning the game.
Ian Hunter is with us from the Daily High of Toronto. I'm Roger Lajoie. It's the Blue Jays in-between game show, and we're delighted to be with you. I'll be back after the game for an edition of Jays Talk as well. 590-590 is our text line. 590-590, name and location. We've got lots of text. I'll read them before we go back to Ben and Kevin with the call of game number two. You can also reach us on Twitter at TheRaj590, at TheRaj590, and on Twitter, we've got the poll up, and the question is, this tailspin the Blue Jays are in, has it changed your mind about your thoughts on how good this team is right here, right now, in 2020? Yes, no? 4 options up. Vote in and give us a comment, and we'll read them both during this in-between game show and after the game on Jays Talk coming up a little bit later as game two comes up with Stripling on the hill for the Blue Jays. The Jays trying to avoid the sweep. It's an old cliche adage, Ian. It's hard to sweep a doubleheader, and it's easy to lose one. And, you know, it sounds like a Yogi Bearism, but I've always said that. It's almost like statistical probability, because especially in baseball, and the fact that the Blue Jays have lost the first game, it doesn't make it any more or less likely what happens in game two. Every game is separate, but you got to like the pitching matchup from their standpoint, and you have to like the fact that at some point, this team's lineup has got to get hitting, right?
Oh, for sure, and I still don't even know if the Phillies have named a starter for this game yet, so maybe that's kind of a hint as to what's to happen this evening. And I mean, I feel like the Blue Jays just have way too many talented hitters for them to all go dormant at once for these last 10 games of the schedule. There's just way too much young talent. And I mean, really, you know, you look ahead, their magic number is 7. Their closest competition is the Mariners. The Mariners are finishing their season against the Padres, the Astros, and the Athletics. So they definitely have an uphill climb. The Blue Jays are facing the Phillies here, the Yankees, and then the Orioles. So they have a bit of an easier schedule. Maybe they're facing a little less lower quality of starting pitching. But as we said, way off the top, you know, you really want to bag these wins early and kind of rest up and get your pitching matchups as early as possible and not come in at the 11th hour and try to clinch a playoff spot.
Well, that's indeed the case, and you need some victories. I don't know, and this might be an overgeneralization, Ian, and something to, you know, just think about, but this losing streak coincides with a really desperate Yankee team, which is a very good team, starting to return to health with Stanton and Judge coming back into the lineup, and in a total must-win situation at Yankee Stadium. I'm not making excuses, but this is just the setup of the last 3 days. And a very good Phillies team who are also life and death trying to nail down the playoff spot. And with the fact that the Blue Jays roll back the, you know, calendar 4 days, had the 4.5, 5.5, whatever it was, game lead, and a 91% chance of playoff probability. It's not an excuse. It's just an observation that maybe we've got the perfect storm here in terms of level of desperation of teams on the field. Because for the Blue Jays, the level of desperation to make the playoffs is pretty minute compared to a lot of other teams. And I hope they're not looking at it that way. But maybe sometimes mentally, Ian, that especially with the younger ball club, that kind of seeps in.
Right. And I mean, this is for a lot of these players, this is unfamiliar territory, right? They've never played in a playoff drive before. I mean, this team, this core of players is basically used to the team being out of contention in late August and early September, right? This is all kind of foreign to them. The pressure cooker environment, you mentioned the Yankees. I kind of always thought they were a bit of a dormant, sleeping giant, that they were just going to awake at any given moment, and of course they get Judge and Stanton back at the perfect moment. And you know, I've heard a few people kind of tell me this is giving them like late September of 1987 vibes, the collapse the Blue Jays had there at the very end of the season. I don't think it's quite heading down that road. I think it's very similar to what kind of happened at the end of 2016, where I think the Blue Jays lost like 2 out of 3 in their second last series against the Orioles, and they finally gritted out their wild card win in Boston at Fenway Park, and Aaron Sanchez had a really solid start. So I think it's kind of very similar to that vein. I mean, that was 4 years ago. It feels like a lifetime now. But yeah, that was the last time the Blue Jays were playing meaningful games in September. So a lot of these players are just this is all very new to them. It's very foreign. So hopefully they'll kind of get their act in gear, because they've only got 10 games left.
David Hale will get the start for the Phillies in the nightcap announced by the Phillies just a few moments ago. Career record of 13-10 this year. No record with a 3.55 ERA, pitching mostly out of the bullpen in 9 games, just 12 2/3 innings. So the Jays should have the opportunity to stretch out that Phillies bullpen if they can get some offense. And you already alluded to, Ian, but got to get the lead and put some pressure and get some confidence back quick.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, the Phillies also they're kind of playing down right now. They don't have JT Realmuto. Rhys Hoskins is on the injured list. Gene Segura. And yeah, you mentioned it, that bullpen kind of looms large for Joe Girardi. So if the Blue Jays can tap into that bullpen like early, you know, 5th or 6th inning, and because it's a relatively unknown making the start tonight, you figure things would look good for the Blue Jays, but it's been very unpredictable as of late. It's tough for me to handicap basically every game going into it.
No doubt about it. Jays lineup will have Biggio at 3rd leading off, Bichette DHing game 2 and hitting 2nd, Gurriel Jr. in left field, Teoscar Hernandez in right hitting cleanup, Grichuk down to 5th in center field, Vladdy hitting 6th at first base, Joe Panik at 2nd base hitting 7th, Espinal shortstop 8th, and Danny Jansen catching hitting 9th. There's been a lot of talk, conjecture, criticism, if we can use that word, of Charlie Montoyo and how he has used his starting lineup and who's been hitting in certain positions. What's your thoughts on that, Ian, and how he's managed and, you know, handled the resources he has?
Yeah, I'm kind of it's interesting to see that Gurriel's hitting higher up in the lineup. I think he was hitting seventh the other night, and predominantly he's been batted, you know, fifth, sixth, seventh for most of the season, and yet he's been one of the Blue Jays' hottest hitters as of late. I've always kind of been of the belief that you give your best hitters the most at-bats possible, so that means hitting them one, two, or three, not burying them in the lineup at seven, eight, or nine. And I think Montoyo's rationale for it a while ago, I think when you moved Biggio and Hernandez down there, was to kind of help get the guys going at the bottom of the lineup, and it's almost like a secondary leadoff hitter there at the in the bottom third. But I don't really know if I subscribe to that theory. I don't know if that was like suggested to by the front office or the analytics department or whatnot. I just think if Gurriel is one of your hottest bats, he should be hitting in the top of your order no matter what, because he gives your team the best chance to win, and he has the potential to get four or five at bats. So to me, that's a very easy decision to make. I'm not sure why he would be hitting any lower than fourth or fifth.
It's amazing, isn't it, Ian, how, you know, our perception and how we look at the batting order has changed in the last 4 or 5 years. When you look at it, used to be a speedy guy leading off, a good contact hitter hitting second, power hitter, best hitter hitting third, the cleanup is a power spot or whatever. End of the day, you want your best hitters hitting as often as you can, not just in a ball game, but over the course of the season. So load up the front of your lineup. You can argue who should be in that number, but your top hitter should be hitting in the top order of your best hitters.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, I think the prime example of that, it was the 2015-16 Blue Jays with Josh Donaldson hitting second. And John Gibbons, actually, he kind of, I don't know if he was a bit of, not really a revolutionary, but it was a bit atypical to hit your best hitter second. I think traditionalists would say third or fourth at most. But yeah, when Donaldson was hitting in the two spot, I mean, he was one of the most lethal hitters in baseball. And then you had Bautista hitting cleanup third and Encarnacion hitting cleanup. So yeah, to me, that's just, it makes the most sense. I mean, your hottest hitter, your best on base guys, I think they should all be hitting one, two, three, four. You know, trying to stack them down further in the lineup, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I mean, I don't see the numbers that the Blue Jays are seeing. So maybe there's a rationale there, but I would say on the surface, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I think when it works. And when it doesn't, it's very obvious to see why it didn't work.
Ian, final question, we'll let you go then. As we look into it and just take the perspective, take a breath, this four-game losing streak, disappointing, but 50 games out of 60. The baseball playoffs are going to start in, what, 10 days, 2 weeks from now. I got to believe that just the fact that the Blue Jays will get some playoff experience this year has got to be a win for this season, all caps.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if you look at, even if the Blue Jays finish off 500 or slightly below 500, I would say that was kind of a blue sky scenario going into the season prior to COVID. Like if the Blue Jays finished it with a 500 record, I think a lot of people would have been happy. But now you've got the potential to go into the postseason. I think it's all gravy for the Blue Jays. I think they're essentially playing with house money at this point, right? They weren't expecting to be here necessarily, but they were aggressive at the trade deadline. They load up on a lot of starting pitchers. And I mean, even if they do make it into the playoffs, say they meet the Rays or the White Sox in the first round, they get blown out consecutively. I think it's at least the players can get a little bit of intel. These are young guys who are expecting to make the playoffs, and this team is expected to be a perennial contender. So at least you get a little bit of experience in the playoffs. You get to play under the bright lights of October, and not many of these guys have done this before. So they can use that as a building block moving forward and potentially make even deeper playoff runs in the future.
That's the hope. And to start it off, though, a win in game two of this doubleheader would be nice. Phillies beat the Jays 7-0 in the opener. Ian Hunter from Daily Hive Toronto joining us here on the In-Between Games show. Ian, great to talk to you. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, thank you, Roger. Take care.
You too. I'm Roger Lajoie. We'll continue in a moment. We'll give you a fast look at the games that are already in the books in Major League Baseball and update the scoreboard. Read some of your texts, 590, 590, name and location, 590, 590, and we'll get your thoughts on the Jays' opening game loss in a moment. I'm Roger Lajoie, and this is the Blue Jays In-Between Game, powered by Jack Links on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
What's the best way to celebrate our return to the road? Maybe a marching band? Maybe a spontaneous yell of joy? Most definitely the Honda 2020 model clearout, where you can lease the 2020 Honda Civic LX from just $60 weekly at 1.99% and zero down, including the $1,000 Honda bonus. And then you can celebrate by showing your new Honda your favorite view of the sunset while I quietly read the legal. Includes freight and fees for 60 months. Taxes extra. OAC. See HondaOntario.com.
Nothing is as sacred as the pregame ritual. The face paint, the favorite jersey, the swagger. Now, add the OLG Pro Line app to the list. Build your ticket anytime, anywhere, then scan at retail. With matchup stats and real-time updates, it's your pregame ritual. The OLG Pro Line app. Download today and put your knowledge on the line with Pro Line.
This is Toronto Blue Jays baseball.
There's a line drive caught by Ryu. And the side is retired.
On Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
It's the Blue Jays in-between game show. I'm Roger Lajoie. For a few more minutes, we'll then go back to Ben Wagner and Kevin Barker, standing by in our Toronto studios to bring you the call of game two of the doubleheader. Phillies winning the opener 7-0. Blue Jays losing streak has hit four games. You're listening to Blue Jays Baseball, powered by Jack Links. Send hunger down to the minors and feed your wild side. Let's have a fast look at the out-of-town scoreboard, then get some of your texts before we take it back to the boys in studio. Cardinals beat the Pirates 6-5. That's the first game of a doubleheader. St. Louis knows doubleheaders. Somehow, they're getting all their games in, though, and doing a terrific job, so they win 6-5. Game 2 there coming up shortly. Phillies, of course, beat the Jays 7-0. Games in progress. Nationals lead the Marlins 5-0 at the end of seven innings there. Bottom of the first, Indians and Tigers are scoreless. Top of the first, Braves lead the Mets 1-0. Middle of the first, the White Sox failed to score at Cincinnati, and the Reds coming up to bat. Yankees and Red Sox are just in warm-ups, as are the Rays and the Orioles. Still to come later tonight in the bigs, the Pirates and the Cardinals play their second game. Nationals and Marlins still have another game to go, so I guess that National-Marlins game is now a final. It says end of seven on MLB, but that would be a final in game one. Their second game still to come. 8:10 Eastern starts the D-backs and Astros, Dodgers and Rockies, Royals and Brewers. 8:15 sees the Twins and the Cubs, and later starts tonight on the coast, the Rangers and Angels, Padres and Mariners, and Giants and Athletics. You're all caught up on the board. 590-590 is our text line. Tony in the Hammer says, hi, my friend Raj. Full credit to Elfin Eflin, Raj, but we are still shell-shocked after that horrible nightmare in Yankee Stadium. Thank you, my friend Raj. Thank you, Tony. Yeah, you got to get over those kind of shell shocks, though, and take the games, Tony. Baseball, you play every day, it gives you the opportunity to forget about yesterday. And that applies even, you play 30 minutes apart, you got now a chance, the Blue Jays do, to forget about game one. Let's see if they can do it. Thomas G says, the Jays woes continue. Philly 7-0. Please, MLB brass, ignite the Little League mercy rule. How can a Jays fan take blowout after blowout? Thanks, Thomas. Well, Thomas, you remember, Jays did score four runs in the top of the ninth and make it interesting. And the Jays did come back down 7-0 after one inning against the Phillies earlier this year. So you never know. You never know. But thank you for the text, Thomas. Anil in Toronto says the Blue Jays will be fine, but Derek Fisher should be benched, giving the young outfielders a chance. And I'll thank you. Paul in Belleville says, hey, Raj, not much to laugh about, but lots to laugh at with the Jays doing their best Maple Leaf impression right now. Maybe they shouldn't have had the bullpen shoulder over 50% of the work all season. Montoya with the quick hook is costing them now. Paul, thank you. It's a great point because we talk about the bullpen on an individual game basis. All right, so you bring another guy in. He doesn't get the outs. And yeah, the left-hander, all the reasons you use the bullpen. But if you do that game in after game in after game in after game in, and your starters can't get out of the fourth inning, Paul, you're right. It starts to add up. Fatigue isn't a one-time thing. It adds up over the course of a season. So good point, Paul, and thank you. Tony in Woodstock. Got lots of texts, 590-590. By the way, I'll take some more after the ball game tonight on Jay's Talk coming up after the ball game, so stick around for that. We've got Tony in Woodstock who says, Roger, once Bryce hit that home run, the shoulders slumped, and until the seventh, they really didn't do much on either side of the ball after that. Slightly concerned, but waiting the weekend out with hope. Tony, thank you. Slightly concerned. Yeah, you're always concerned when a team is losing, but Tony, I tell you, you've got to put the shoulders back up and move on. And I'm pretty confident they will. We'll see what they got in game two here. Paul in Halifax, 590-590, again, the text. Paul in Halifax says, totally agree. This is house money. Any playoff experience these kids get this year is a huge bonus for the years to come. Go Jays. Paul, that's a great way to end our text. Thanks for all of your text. I'm Roger Lajoie. I will join you again after the ball game for Jays Talk. The Blue Jays pregame to game two is brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. Now let's get back into the main studio with Ben Wagner and Kevin Barker.